Measure Up Podcast, Episode 24, What Sport Teaches Us About Measuring Performance. Well, g'day and welcome. I am Stacey Barr, the performance measure specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about what sport teaches us about measuring performance, our practical tip is 9 Ironman tips for performance measurement success. In the Q&A segment, we'll help Measure Up subscriber Yevon answer the very contentious question, how do you make people use KPIs? In the new how-to resource segment, I'll tell you about the 4 most practical KPI templates I use, and the new Getting More segment will wrap us up with a few links to give you more of a sporty flavour to your performance measurement. But first, I want to tell you about someone very interesting that I've just recently met. Last week I met Adrian Rainey, well, over the phone that is. He was a professional rugby league player here in Australia, and now he's a very practical expert on the concept of commitment and author of a great little ebook on this topic, Blood in the Water. You can get a copy of that ebook at adrianrainey.com. That's adrianrainey.com. I spoke with Adrian because I reckon that performance measurement is never going to take off in businesses or organizations that have inappropriate commitment to it. Adrian talks about 2 types of commitment, obsessive and harmonious. He learned about obsessive commitment the hard way by being banned from his sport for 2 years for using performance-enhancing drugs. You don't want to encourage an obsessive commitment to performance measurement because even though you might start out strong with everyone measuring everything, you'd end up burning out very quickly, making unnecessary mistakes that fuel cynicism and making things worse in the future. Instead, you want harmonious commitment to performance measurement, where you start with a very deliberate focus on what the real value of performance measurement is, how it supports and meshes with other dimensions of the business, and let that commitment grow and fuel the process of measuring what matters. In his ebook, Adrian says, "Have you ever been in awe of the intensity of a professional performance? The power, the hits, the speed, the skill, the elegance, the rhythm, the charisma. It's beyond human, we think. But here lies the illusion. It's training." What he means is that excellence and mastery are the products of training and practicing and rehearsing. And I reckon we don't do nearly enough of that in our approaches to performance measurement. So in this episode of Measure Up, we're going to borrow that continual practice and improvement ethic from sport and explore how we can apply it to master performance measurement. First, a final reminder for our very last Pump Blueprint training for 2011. The Performance Measure Blueprint is a step-by-step methodology to develop great performance measures. Our final Performance Measure Blueprint online program starts tomorrow, Wednesday, 5th of October, with the first of 8 interactive weekly webinars. We'll have a couple of interactive Q&A webinars. Let me slow down a bit. We're going to have a couple of interactive Q&A webinars along the way also, so you can ask questions and brag about your progress. Because at the end of each webinar, I'll have an activity for you to do, along with a template to use to implement each step as you go. If you want to start with us tomorrow, sign up today at performancemeasureblueprintonline.com. That's performancemeasureblueprintonline.com. Now let's go to this episode's practical tip. You can get the written copy of the podcast's practical tip in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter, and you can subscribe for that for free at measureupblog.com. No meat athlete and Ironman triathlon finisher Susan Lackey wrote an article called From Couch Potato to Ironman in 20 Months. And it discussed the 9 keys to her successful accomplishment of that great feat. Those 9 keys, to me at least, seem to perfectly apply to the successful accomplishment of great performance measurements. So here's my take on how Susan's 9 keys can work for we performance measurement practitioners too. Key number 1 is start small. Zoom in on a single goal or performance result and work to only measure that. They say a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush, and I say a measure you can use right now is worth dozens you're putting off until later. Key number 2 is commit. Lock it into your diary, the tasks to choose that single goal or performance result, to design its performance measure, to get the data and graph it, to use the measure to improve performance. Keep a reminder close to your person at all times about why it matters, like a note or a picture, so your commitment stays true to real performance improvement and you don't just jump through performance measurement hoops for the sake of having a measure. Key number 3 is find those who know. Make a list of all the experts or specialists or authors or colleagues who have succeeded to measure the right things and improve performance. Learn from them, take their advice, model their approaches so you don't waste time reinventing wheels or falling into traps. Key number 4 is build gradually. Start with meaningfully measuring a single goal, and when you've succeeded at that, continue with 2 goals. And when you've succeeded at those, continue further with 4 goals. Practice takes multiple iterations of action learning. Select an approach, try it out, learn from the results, improve the approach. Key number 5 is make mistakes. Make mistakes, but make new ones. Don't repeat the mistakes that others have already shown you how to avoid. If you're stuck on how to do something, then design a little experiment and try it out. Learn whether it fails or succeeds. Key number 6 is balance, not sacrifice. Yes, you're super busy. Yes, your colleagues are super busy. That's not a reason not to measure performance. It's an excuse. The idea is to take the time you can get. Give 15 or 30 minutes to design a better measure this week, rather than delaying for months until you have a full day to design 10 better measures. Key number 7 is have a support system. Form a measures team of 4 to 6 volunteers in your business or organization and meet weekly or monthly to share the performance measurement workload. Grow a network beyond your organization of fellow performance measurement practitioners for sanity checks and inspiration. Find and use templates that save time. Be organized so you always make the time. Key number 8 is blinders on. People have more objections to performance measurement than just about anything else. They're very well practiced at saying why it doesn't work, why it fails, why they can't do it. Don't let anyone's objections get into your head. Hold on to your beliefs about why measuring matters, how it can work, and what the true value is in doing it. And key number 9, enjoy it. Stay connected to the reason why we measure performance, which is ongoing improvement and excelling at what our organizations exist to do. Rise to the challenge and enjoy the success of making things fundamentally better. Experiment with ways to inject fun into performance measurement tasks. Now, if you want to take action on these ideas, here's my suggestion. Is there just one of these 9 keys that resonates with you, that feels like improving it would make a noticeable difference in your performance measurement success? Give it a 2-week focus, thinking about it each day, coming up with ideas to strengthen your ability to do it, testing those ideas. Aren't you tired of waiting for the planets to line up before you make some real deal performance measurement progress? Well, before we get on to today's Q&A, I'll tell you how you can save 25% on my 4 favorite KPI templates. It's by getting all 4 PUMP how-to kits at the same time. There are 4 foundational techniques that every performance measurement practitioner should master, techniques that are complementary to but independent of whatever framework you're currently using, be it Balanced Scorecard, EFQM, Baldrige, Six Sigma, or some other. The first technique is about making your strategy measurable, and that's about deciding what types of results are really worth measuring and how they align to your company or organization's direction. The Pump How-To Kit for making your strategy measurable has a template called a results map that helps you do just that. Technique number two is design and choose the performance measures that are most meaningful to track your important results, balancing relevance with realism, and the Pump Measure Design template helps you do that. Technique number three is to define the details for implementing each performance measure right down to the calculation and data requirements, and the Pump Measure Definition template is perfect for that. Technique number four is to report your performance measures so they're clearly displayed, accompanied by the right information to stimulate dialogue and action, and in an easy-to-read and easy-to-navigate layout. And the Pump Report Design template has done a lot of that hard work for you already. You can get all these four techniques, the four how-to kits, in a set and save 25%. They're all a digital download, so within minutes you'll be using them to meaningfully measure what matters. The details are at stacybarr.com/products/howtokitsall4.html. That's stacybarr.com/products/howtokitsall4.html, and four is the number four. We are now up to my favourite part of this particular episode, because I just love this question from recent Measure Up subscriber, Yevon, who's a performance manager in a large organisation. Yevon asks, how do you make people use KPIs? Well, the short answer is you don't. But a slightly longer answer is to explore what WIIFM or WIFM means and why it applies to performance measurement. WIIFM is the well-known acronym for What's in It for Me, and the idea is that if you want someone to change or to do something they don't currently do, you've got no chance or Buckley's unless they believe there's some real value for them in doing so. Change is incredibly hard for us humans without a very significant impetus for changing. John Cotter, author of Leading Change, would call that impetus a burning platform, an essential input to any sustainable change. That burning platform has to speak to the personal values of the person or people you want to change. It's why most people don't exercise regularly or eat healthy food. They don't have a why to change that's bigger than the why to stay as they are. No exercise means no pain, and eating processed snacks out of packets tastes good. Exercise means pain and sweat, and eating healthy is more expensive, and green stuff like kale tastes funky and takes longer to chew. But let's say someone discovered that they had heart disease, and in no small part due to their poor diet and lack of exercise. Now their why to change is much bigger than their why to stay as they are. Now they're more likely to be counting their calories, tallying up the numbers of hours of exercise they do, monitoring their heart rate, and measuring their waistline and body weight. Their heart disease is their burning platform. You can't make people use KPIs. Only they can do that. As performance measurement practitioners, our job is to help people objectively and clearly see the real choice they're making by not using their KPIs, to see what cool things could happen if they did, and to look down and see their burning platform. It'll be different for different people, so understanding their values and the goals that are important to them is your first step. Then explore how using KPIs can help them better live those values and reach those goals and avoid their platform burning out from under them. Well, if you ever have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Well, it's almost time to wrap up, but before we do, I've got three articles for you today from the Measure Up blog at measureupblog.com. So jot down the titles if you want to search for them there. The first article is called 5 Principles for Performance Measurement Excellence, Lessons from Running. And it is essentially about the idea that the pursuit of excellence in anything, whether it's running or performance measurement or anything else, is based on a set of core principles. So I share those principles with you in that article. The second article is KPIs should make you feel uncomfortable. If your KPIs or performance measures don't make you feel uncomfortable, if they're not pushing you outside your comfort zone, then they're probably a waste of time. The idea is that they make us feel uncomfortable so that we change. It's something a little bit like that burning platform concept. And the third article is called My Measurement Success Mantras. I actually love mantras, and this article is about how I use them not only in running, but use them to inspire and remind me about what excellent performance measurement's really about. Well, here we are. We're at the end of another episode. Thanks again for joining me. Please feel very welcome to download these podcasts and read the practical tips at measureupblog.com. You can subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up, and when you find it, please leave a comment about it. It will help other people decide if they want to sign up for it, and it'll also increase its rankings in iTunes as well. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.